This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Last year, more than 175,000 people came to this country on H-2 visas, the unskilled foreign worker program, mostly from Mexico and Central America. Employers of H-2 visa holders have to meet certain basic standards. They have to provide transportation to and from the border, housing, sometimes fair wages and decent working conditions. That doesn't always happen. Ken Bensinger wrote about H-2 abuses in his newest investigative piece for BuzzFeed. Jessica Garrison and Jeremy Singer Vine shared the byline with him. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Kai.
The upshot of the piece, the upshot of your investigation is this thing that seems ripe for abuse and mistreatment actually is.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, this program doesn't have an ability, apparently, to prevent abuse and exploitation of these workers to happen. The Department of Labor, which is one of three government agencies that oversees it, told us that in 1 year they found violations of the law in terms of worker protections in 82% of the employers they looked at.
You start with an anecdote about a bus accident. Tell me that story.
It's a really harrowing story. There's a company based in Florida that brings in workers to do agricultural work all over the place. And a busload of these workers was done with a season in Michigan and was driving back to Laredo, Texas. And in North Little Rock, Arkansas, just outside of town on the I-40, in the middle of the night, the bus went off the road and hit an overpass, ripped off the back half of the bus, and killed six of the passengers instantly. I mean, just brutal. And as the mess was being cleaned up, it turned out that the driver of the bus, who happened to be the brother of the owner of the company, didn't have a commercial license, which is a serious problem. And on top of that, the insurance policy they carried was less than 20% of what it should be, which means that the grieving families are going to get very little money, very little compensation for their significant loss. Meanwhile, that horrible mess, which is being investigated as we speak by the National Transportation Safety Board, didn't stop the Department of Labor from issuing more visas to the same company.
That seems to me the big question, right? We have these bad actors in here, and you cite repeated instances of repeated abuse. What do you have to do as a company, as an employer? What kind of violations do you have to commit to get debarred from this process, from this program, I guess?
Sure. So, well, in theory, they should be able to debar, meaning get thrown out of the program and not be able to get more visas for a period of time. They should be debarred for the kind of violations we've been talking about, for exploitation and abuse. And, I mean, there's things like taking people's passports and not giving back to them and basically holding them virtually prisoner. But instead, what we find is they don't debar people typically for that. Typically, what they debar people for is bureaucratic snafus. And the most egregious thing you can do from the Department of Labor's perspective, apparently, is to not pay their $110 visa certification fee. Man. If you don't pay that fee, you're getting booted from the program real quick.
One of the subheadings, the subparagraph headings in this story is they weren't even allowed to Google them. You talk to people, I guess, at Department of Labor or who used to work there. They had to go only on what was on the actual form and application submitted by the company. They couldn't do independent research.
That's exactly right. So we spoke to a man who used to work in the processing center where they would look at all the applications for visas from employers. And he said that when he tried to do any independent research to find out anything about a company, even if there were red flags all over the place, he was roundly told not to do it, including not using Google. Literally, you have to believe what's on the piece of paper and nothing more. And so, no surprise, these things come through and people who are serial violators of people's rights continue to get visas year after year.
Outside the agricultural sphere, where might these workers wind up? What kinds of companies?
Several industries that we looked at are really dependent on it. Seafood processing industry. You see a lot in lawn care and garden care. Some of the biggest corporate type gardening companies in the country. Golf course maintenance. The guys cutting the grass at the golf courses. There's a big industry that's called forestry or reforestry, which is not the companies that cut the trees to make paper or wood, but the companies that kind of clean up the mess afterwards.
Yeah.
Those ones are very frequently using foreign labor on these visas. That's an interesting case, too, because those are almost all done on federal land with federal contracts. So you have the U.S. Forestry Service paying companies to bring in foreign workers to do Forest Service work.
Do these companies need, I mean, they got to have these workers to get their business done?
They need workers. So the question is, do they need these workers? And if they need these workers, Is that because there's really no alternative? And so that's one of the things we tried to explore is whether there truly are alternatives. We've all heard the old saw that no Americans want the job. And I think that in some cases that is the case. But there are economists and others who have studied that and have found that the rate of unemployment in these industries for U.S. citizens is fairly high and that there should be Americans interested in applying for the jobs. So people who look at this question think, well, maybe you need to make them pay a little bit more money, and then we can find out. That's sort of the acid test and see whether they really can't get any Americans to do jobs.
Ken Bensinger is a reporter at BuzzFeed News. Ken, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.